chapter 17. Matthew 17, and we're going to read from verse 14 here, and we're going to look at some things. Matthew 17 and 14 says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.' Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?' And Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, "Remove hence to yonder place," and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Now, here we have this story of Jesus casting out the devil. The man brings him to the disciples. The disciples can't cast him out. And so once the man comes to Jesus, Jesus cast out the devil. And the first thing that the disciples do when Jesus gets out away from them, they said, "Why could we not cast him out? How come we couldn't do it? Why was it that we couldn't get him to come out?" And Jesus then gives them two reasons for their failure. First of all, he says, it's a lack of faith. Because of your faith, you couldn't cast him out. Now, let me tell you something, church. Jesus just told us that if we could believe, all things were possible to him that believeth. So you and I need to be believing on a bigger scale. Amen. The devil has no power over you. No matter how much he wants to be a bully, no matter how much he wants to act like he's got power, no matter how much he wants to try to make himself look impressive, he's not. Jesus has already let all the air out of him. Come on, church. And he's given you and I authority over him. So we have to use our faith. He says, the reason you couldn't cast that devil out, first of all, was a lack of faith. Okay? Now, we know that the disciples had a relationship with God because they had a relationship with Jesus. But then Jesus says something else that was key to their failure. Okay? He ends up by saying, after he tells them, you know, that they had, if they'd say to the mountain, all things would be possible to them. Then all of a sudden he says, howbeit, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. You know what he just told them? You weren't hooked up. You weren't hooked up. If you're going to cast out this kind of devil, first of all, you got to believe you can. And next, you got to be able to understand that you are hooked up to the power source. See, prayer and fasting hooks you up to God. Did you hear what I said? When you have that relationship, you see, a lot of folks want to fast to move God, but you don't fast to move God. You fast to get yourself in position to where God's at. See, it's moving you to God, not moving God to you. And so Jesus is telling them, listen, the reason for your failure is simply you had a lack of faith. You didn't believe you could. And number two, you wouldn't hooked up to the power source anyway. You wouldn't hooked up to God anyway. You got to be praying and fasting. You got to be ready when you're coming up against a devil of this sort. See, when you look in the Word of God, you'll find out that there are different levels of devils. Or can I say it this way? There's different levels of the power of evil. Okay? And so just like there's different levels of power in the kingdom of God, and there is because there are different anointings for different occasions, right? There are different levels of devils that we have to come up against, and you better know who God is when you come up against some of them. Come on, now some of them, you know, you can just take a baby Christian, whip up on them, they can use the name of Jesus and they'll go. And then there's some of them that you can use the name of Jesus. And if you're not hooked up to Jesus, he's going to look at you and say, "I ain't going nowhere." Come on now. So we've got to understand this. Jesus tells them why they failed. Now, I started kind of thinking about this and I just some things that came to me. One of the things came to me, I started thinking about electrical devices and gadgets that we use. And when we're having trouble with them, especially when computers first came around, but even now, when somebody's having trouble with something, there's two questions really that need to be asked, even though they're very obvious questions, but there's two questions that need to be asked when somebody's dealing with something and it's not working, right? You know what two questions it is? First thing, is it turned on? Did you turn it on? Right? Come on now, you know, you say, well, that Captain Obvious, that... No, no. How many times have anybody besides me ever been fooling with something and get to looking around and I didn't have it turned on? Why won't this stupid thing work? And look down and it's not turned on and you kind of look like it's yourself, you know, me. But besides, is it turned on? The next question is it plugged in? Is it plugged in to the power source? See, and so when that's kind of what Jesus was doing with them, he said, listen, first of all, you need to be turned on. You need to have your faith going. And next of all, you need to be plugged into the source of your faith. Church, we've got to make sure that we are getting ourselves turned on. You know, say when you walk into a room, the electric can be a present, the bulb can be in the socket, but you have to what? Flip the switch. You've got to flip. It's time for the church to flip the switch of faith. It's time for us to begin to act like who God says we are instead of us acting like who the world says we are. Come on. We may have to ask ourselves the question, am I turned on? You might want to ask yourself, am I turned on to God? Have I got my faith switch flipped? Am I really, really plugged into God? See, a lot of folks say they've got faith and all that kind of thing, but they're not really plugged into the source. How do I know if you're plugged in or not? Well, you know, I have, and I'm sure you probably have too. Anybody ever pick something up that was electrical and start to move it and take off with it, and all of a sudden you get jerked back? Right? What happened? Well, it's still plugged in. In other words, if it's plugged in, it stays put. If you look at a lot of Christians, I notice they're not here. So apparently they're not plugged in. Come on, don't get mad at me because I'm preaching good. It's time for the church to get plugged in. Now is the time. Right? It's the season. It's time for children of God to get plugged back into God, start flipping on their faith switch, and start operating in the power of God because we have that season right now. It's a season that God is giving us. A lot of folks don't care. And if you don't care, you don't care. You're going to just miss out on it. But I don't want us to miss out on it. I don't want you to miss out on it. I want you to be able to operate in this time right now because I believe there's a special anointing going on. I believe God's doing some things in His church. I know He's doing them in the earth, but He's also doing them in the church. But it's up to us whether or not we get hooked up to that, whether we get plugged into that. See, because both of those things, being turned on and plugged in, have to be initiated if things are going to work. Come on, that device, it don't matter. You can turn it on all you want to, but if it's not plugged in, it won't come on. Right? And you can plug it in all you want to, but if you don't turn it on, it won't come on. So both of them have to be initiated. And that's a lot of times, that's why the believers, we are struggling with our spirituality. Is because we're either not hooked in, or we're not really flipping on the switch of faith. So you can come to church if you want to and just sit in the church house. Come on now. You can come in here and I can give you word. But if you never flip the switch of faith and use that word, it's not going to do you any good. Amen. I'm not saying it's not good to get the word, but the reason you get the word is so that you can use the word to pull down strongholds, to use the word to let the anointing destroy yokes, to use the word to get things done in the kingdom of God. Amen. You know, I mean, yeah, it's kind of, you know, and here's the thing about it is if you don't use what you got, then what's the purpose of getting it? We talk about it a whole lot. You know, people work all their life to accumulate money. And then they let the money sit in the bank. And the money draws interest and makes more money. What's the purpose? Come on now. Somebody help me out. Why? Money is to be spent. The only thing about good money is what it can buy. Well, now, you can have bragging rights if you want to. Well, I got $1 million in the bank. Well, bless your heart. I got about 25, but I'm going to spend mine and get me something I like that's going to bring me joy while you're sitting around worrying whether or not your $1 million is going to make you some more money. I'll enjoy what my money will buy. Come on, church. Well, see, it's the same thing with your spirituality. You can sit here and get loaded up with the Word of God, but if you don't use that way, if you don't spend that Word of God, come on. See, that's why you get equipped, is so that you can go out to a lost and dying world and loose it on them. You get filled with the Holy Ghost, not for you so you can speak in tongues and sound real pretty or so just so you can pray, but you get filled with the Holy Ghost so that you're endued with power to go out to a lost and dying world and impose the kingdom of God on this world. And the church has been slacking. They've been laying back and they're more interested in everything the world's got to do. Come on, church. If you just look, there was a time when they wouldn't have dared to have a sporting event on Sunday. Now they plan sporting events for Sunday. There's times when they wouldn't do it on Wednesday, but now, if they can't have the event on Wednesday, they'll schedule a practice. Since they ain't got an event, we'll just practice. And they could care less whether or not somebody wants to go to church or not, because that's not where their thing is. So you've got to understand, their thing is to live and breathe and eat sports. And so that's what they do. But your thing ought to be to live and eat and breathe God. Come on, see. But the world's trying to indoctrinate the church and say, you know, you're not a good parent if you don't let your kids stay in practice on Wednesday night. Can't believe that you'd deprive that child of getting to play ball or cheerlead or something and take them to church and not let... I can't believe you'd be that kind of parent. Well, that's the problem. They're not a believer. You are. See, now I know it gets quiet because I understand this is a dilemma for a lot of folks, because we've allowed the world to influence us to the point that we feel guilty if we don't let our kid be involved in what everybody else has been involved. And our kids are shystering you too. Well, mommy, all the rest of the kids are getting to. I want to too. What if all the rest of the kids go to hell? Do you want your kid to go to hell too? Come on now. So you've got to understand, you're the protection over your child while you're raising that child up. God gave that child to you to raise it up in the admonition of the Lord, to train it up in the way it should go. And it did not. The Bible does not say train them up in the way of basketball or football or cheerleading or dance. Don't say nothing about training them up in the ways of the world. Come on. When he says train them up in the way they should go, he's talking about following God and the things of God. And I understand that I'm going crossways of most of the world. If it's not popular, I understand that, but it's still the truth. It's still the truth. Because most sports are just somebody living vicariously through somebody else. Come on. You can't play so you watch somebody else play and get in there with them. I'd rather play marbles and participate as to sit there in the seat and watch somebody else do it. Come on, think about it for a minute now. But see, that's how far we've come. We need entertainment. You know why we need entertainment? We need entertainment to fill the void where the Holy Ghost is. We're trying to replace God with the things of the world instead of letting the Holy Ghost get a hold of us and get us fired up. That's why when you go to the ball games, you shout and carry on like a crazy person. God wants you to get into the house of God and shout and carry on, but we can't do that in here. No. You're going to try? Come on. We've got to get ourselves once again fired up Pastor Ed and I, if you're wondering about me just a little bit, Pastor Ed and I were looking, we started talking about a song, got thinking about a song, Rachel found the song for us, and it just happened to be a song, and we knew the song was there, we just hadn't found it yet, but it took us back to 1999. That's where that song took us back to. We did the song here one time called Psalm 23. But it took us back to 1999 to the Raise the Standard at World Harvest Church Conference. And there she sent that to us, and we looked at each other and said, we were there. We were there that night. And the place was going crazy. And that song started, and 25 minutes later, people are still praising and worshiping God. And we were up in there. They never did get the camera. We were so high in the bleachers, they never did get the camera back there. But we were back there dancing and carrying on like a bunch of crazy people because we'd never seen anything like that. Never been part of something like that. And people were running and shouting. And they couldn't. Rod Parsley tried to talk two or three times, Pastor Parsley did. And he just had to turn around and walk back because the people would not quit praising God long enough for him to be able to say anything. It beat any ball game you ever been to. Did you hear me? They were shouting, praising God. People was running. People, I mean, you know. And we were part of that. It was the most awesome thing in the world. And we started talking about that, man. I want that again. I want that here. We said it when we were up there. God, if you can do it here, you can do it here. And God has done it here many times. But you know what it depends on? Us. It depends on us. Rod Parsley didn't make that happen. Pastor Parsley didn't make that happen. God did. You know how God did it? Because the people were obedient to worship God. The people were obedient to shout and praise God. They flipped on their switch and said, come on, baby, let's burn. Come on. That's what the church has got to do. We've got to flip the switch and get ourselves stirred up again. Paul told Timothy, he said, you've got to stir up that gift that's on the inside of you. It's time for the church to stir up the gift that's in them. God is looking for His church. Listen, nobody just come. Ryan Hall has this little thing. I know I'll make somebody mad at me, but it's okay. Lillian was in dance, and this was during that time when Lillian was in the dance thing. And I know this will make somebody mad probably, but we'd went to see the Nutcracker. She was in the Nutcracker thing. Anybody ever seen the Nutcracker? 2 hours, right? At least 2 hours. Ryan Hall, one time he said it's kind of like watching paint dry on the wall. Don't get mad at me now. I know you love to watch your little kids dance, and you know, but you know that's what he said. You know, and if we got laughed about it because it is. If you're the one sitting out here, right? Come on now, you're the one sitting out here, and they're doing 10 solos. And you only know the person doing the solo. Come on, don't get mad at me now. It's true. You know it's the truth. They know it's the truth, but people pay good money to get their kids into that, and they pay good money for their kids to do that, and whether that's okay. Well, that's what they want to do. You see, but what I'm trying to say here is people get all excited and get all involved in all that stuff and wouldn't miss it at all. But when it comes to the things of God and the church, we like that. We come into the house of God, and we're like paint, watching paint dry. Instead of getting involved and getting stirred up and stirring ourselves up and saying, you know what? I came in to worship God. Did anybody come in here tonight to worship God? Did you come to get yourself stirred up? Did you come to lift Him up? You see, if that's what you came for, then that's what you need to do. You can't just sit back and watch the pastor. You need to be participating. You need to be lifting up your voice, praising God, giving Him glory. Because He's in you. Right? He's living on the inside of you. You know, sometimes we don't look and understand that it is the connectivity that we have between God. He is our power source. And so at all times we should be connected and lifting Him up. Using Him to fill us up. So that we can get glory here on this earth out of giving Him glory in heaven. Come, what do you mean getting glory? I'm talking about that. I don't know about you, but I like it when the anointing comes on me. I like it. I mean, I know I have the anointing. I know the anointing's in all of us. But I like it when the Holy Ghost just kind of pours himself out on somebody. Right? But you see, it don't happen unless we've stayed hooked up and we're turned on. Remember Jesus, he talks and he says this. He said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Right? And he says, without me, you can do nothing. But he goes on and he says, he that abideth in me and me in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. When you start looking at that word abide, it means to have a habitation in. In other words, I'm not just paying a visit to Him. I'm literally staying with Him. You say, well now, Pastor Mike, I got a life to live. I got a job to work. Listen, you can still do that. You can still worship God. You can still praise God, even on your job, driving down the road. Pastor had talked about that earlier. I mean, I hear her coming before she ever gets to the house. I hear that thumping coming. She's bouncing that thing, man. I don't know why she's wearing hearing aids. We've always liked loud music, both of us have. But yeah, she's bopping, but at least it's godly music. She's not bouncing down the road listening to the worldly stuff. Christians ought to be building themselves up in God because He says, I am the vine. You're the branches. What you're getting, you're drawing from me and you need to abide in me. And then he says something else that's pretty good, I think. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. He said, you can ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Now think about that for a minute. You know what just said? If you're hooked up to me and you've got the Word of God, see, the Word of God is the device that will flip the switch of faith. Because you can't have faith without the Word. Did you hear me? Your level of faith will never rise above your level of the Word in your life. I've preached that to you many times. You can't believe for something you don't know. So if you want to believe big, you need to have the Word big in your life. That's why God told Joshua to meditate day and night on the Word of God. And He said, then you're going to have good success. And then you're going to make your way prosperous. We need that Word in our life. We need to make sure that we've got our... The faith switch flipped and we're plugged into God with the Word of God and using our faith to do whatever God wants us to do and also to use our faith to accomplish things in our life that we want. Amen. You can use faith to accomplish things for you. Amen. See, it's just a matter of whether or not I want it. Can I believe for it? Am I hooked up? Remember, Jesus told that guy that he cast the devil out of his son. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that can believe. All things. You know what that tells me? The church ain't believing for nothing. It got quiet, didn't it? Well, see, we're not seeing signs and wonders and miracles. Come on. How many want to see signs and wonders and miracles? Okay. We all want to see signs and wonders and miracles, which means we plugged in. But I think we need to flip the switch. I think we need to flip the switch. I think we need to come in here not just wanting to see them, but believing to see them. Bringing our faith up from wanting to today's the day. Today's the day we're going to see so-and-so get healed. Today's the day we're going to see this happen. Today's the day we're going to see God do this miracle. Come on. You see, most of the time, we're so bound down with life. And everything is so hectic that we come in and we're so weighed down with the world that even though we want to see it, we can't believe for it because we're just too tired to believe. We're too wore out. The world has got us so full that it's hard for us to believe for something else. And we've got to learn to shake that off. That's why the Word of God says casting all your care on Him, because He cares for you. You can't come in believing God for a miracle and then have an anxiety at the same time. Worried about this and worried about that. And, you know, oh my gosh, I hope Pastor don't preach too long tonight. Come on. You know, the Johnson County folks saying, yeah, I hope he don't. Hey, we've got a field trip tomorrow. We're going to go see the Nutcracker. Exciting, I tell you. Right? I'm getting in trouble. I know I can. Here's something the Lord spoke to me. He said, you can pray, you can fast, you can attend church, but if you don't energize your faith, nothing's going to happen. Amen. Right? And that's true. I mean, God spoke that to me. I'm just sitting there meditating on this thing. You know, He said, you can fast, you can pray, you can attend church, but if you don't energize your faith, nothing will happen. Hey, here's what He said. He said, all you are is just that little green light sitting there flashing on and off. You know what that means? Got power, but it ain't turned on. Right? Come on. Anybody got the device and the little lights flashing? You know it's got power, but it's not till you turn the button till it lights up. Flip the switch. And it comes on and the fan starts blowing and all things start happening. It starts computing if it's a computer, right? Amen. God says it's time for us to start computing. It's time for us to start getting over in faith and believing God for some major things instead of just for little things. Because He's a big God. And He wants us to believe for big things. But listen, we need to start believing right now for our families. Did you hear me? All of us got family that are lost. All of us got family that are backslidden. They might not admit they're backslidden, but if they say they're a Christian and they're not going to church, they are backslid. Now, they can talk godly as they want to talk. Come on now. They can talk godly as they want to talk. They can act like they're living at the foot of the cross. But if they don't have a desire to come into the house of God and worship Him, then I'm going to tell you, they've got a problem. Come on. Now, we might as well just shoot straight, right? Come on now. You know, we might as well just tell the truth. We've got enough lying going on in the country. We might, in the church, it ought not be that way. We ought to be telling the truth. And people need to be told the truth. I know what it's like to live the life of a hypocrite. I did. Many, 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 many years ago. But it was still there. I've told you this before. I was around Christian folks. I act like a Christian. I talk like a Christian. But if I got around guys that were cussing around, I'd probably tell dirty jokes, cuss, whatever. And it wasn't until the sinner said, well, He is just like us, that God smote my heart. It took a lost guy to say that. Not a preacher. Not a family member. A friend. Come on. It wasn't long before old Mike got his life right with God again. Amen. Why? Because I was living a lie. I wasn't on my way to heaven. Come on now. I mean, I know that goes contrary to you, the once in grace and all that people. But it wasn't that I didn't know God. It wasn't that I hadn't asked God to come into my heart. It wasn't that I hadn't been saved. It's that I was not living a righteous lifestyle. I wasn't doing the things Christians are supposed to do. If we're born again, we're going to want to do the things Christians are supposed to do. I don't know about you guys, but I can't wait to get to church. Not because I'm going to preach. Anytime anybody's going to preach. I look forward to it. I love it when Brother Mike Manuel. I love it when Pastor comes. I love it when these other guys come. I love it when Brother Rick and Jason and now Austin gets up here. And Sister Debbie, you blessed us a few minutes ago. Hallelujah. She needs to do that some more. I don't care what the devil says to her. I know the devil tells her she can't get to use her voice, but she used her voice quite well a few minutes ago. Praise God. Amen. You see, it's time for the church to rise up and get above where we've been. time for us to flip the switch and get brighter and believe God on a higher level. Amen. Because we're hooked up to Him. All we got to do is make sure that we got the switch on and just believe God more than what we ever have. Now, when you look at this, you understand that not only does the switch need the power, but the power needs the switch. Ain't that what we're talking about? You've got to be turned. You've got to have both working together. Right? Well, if you get in the Word of God, you find out over in James, there that James writes, he says, you know, listen, you can say you've got faith. He said, but I'll show you my faith by my works. Uh-oh, we got something going on here. And he goes on and he talks about the fact that faith without works is dead. In other words, what he's saying is this, if there's not enough power in you that once you say something of faith, that you don't do something of faith, then it's not going to work. You can say, I love Jesus, but if you don't go to church, do something, then I'm going to have to wonder, do you love Jesus or not? Amen. If I say I love my wife and I don't ever go home to her, she's going to start thinking. He says he loves me, but he don't want to see me. Come on now. He says he's got a relationship with me, but he don't want to have a relationship with me. She's going to start questioning things. So I have to look and I have to see that a lot of the church are saying things and they're speaking it out, but they're not acting on it. And so it's not in faith that they're actually saying it because they work together. He goes on, James does, and gives the example there of Abraham, how, you know, that he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, that faith and works working together. Faith of them working together, it perfected faith, he said. You see, and so when we're saying things and then doing what we say, now we're perfecting faith. Because if we just say something and do something opposite, we're just exactly like the world. Come on, we're exactly like the world. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like the world. I want to be like Jesus. I want to do the things that Jesus would do. I want to see God glorified in this house. In order for Him to be glorified in this house, you and I, God has given us this house. I'm talking to us now, not to them out there. God has given us this house. And if we want to see this house grow, then we need to invite people to come. I understand the Holy Ghost can draw people, but He also tells us to go out into all the world. Right? We are going to have to take it up the next level, our praise and worship. We're going to have to make the extra effort. We're the ones that's going to have to step it up and say, you know what? I'm going to move my game up. Come on now. Everybody likes sports. We got to be like that fellow that's when everybody else goes home, he's still out there shooting free throws. Right? He's still the one doing laps around the field when everybody else goes because he's going the extra mile. He's building himself up, training himself up. That's what the church has got to do. When everybody else goes home, we still need to be praising God. Lift Him. When everybody else has forgot about the service, we need to still be praising God. Praise Him all the way home. Praise Him after you get home. Come on, somebody. Praise Him on the way back to church. Man, if we would come praising, what would happen once we got in here? But it's up to us. We're going to have to flip some switches and say, God, we want everything You got. We want to see You do miracles, signs, and wonders, and You get glory out of it, and people's lives will be changed. Amen? Stand to your feet with me. I know I didn't do half my notes if you're following me along in the notes, but that's okay. I believe the Holy Ghost said what He wanted to say, and maybe I said a few things too. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, bless You, and praise You for who You are. God, I thank You, Lord God, that You're calling Your church out to move up and lift up the banner, Father, for You. Lord, to allow Your anointing to flow through us to advocate change, Father, in our lives and in the lives of the people that we're around. Help us, Father, to both be connected and turned on to You, Father God, to the place that it's undeniable. And when people see it and know it, they'll want to be a part of it too. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. I give you praise and honor and glory. Thank you. Amen. If you're in the house and you need prayer, you want the Lord in your life, Jesus in your life, you're in here, you need to rededicate. You